Father, we lift our hands to heaven and surrender to you, Master, asking for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace. We repent, Father, for every word, thought, and deed that we have done, and every area where we've offended you, and any area where we've caused someone to stumble. Lord, please wash us with the blood, purge us with your presence, and fill us with your Spirit. Take your rightful place, Holy Spirit. Bring us to the throne room of our Daddy, and let the anointing and the power of your love and the glory of your presence break every yoke of bondage. Loose us from the bonds of entanglements and affairs of this world, from sicknesses, diseases, fears, guilt, condemnation, deception, mindsets and strongholds, torments. Free us, Father, from those things that interfere with our walk with you. And hide us in the secret place. Feed us, teach us, and establish us. Position us and sanctify us according to your word. Father, you said, call me and we will answer you and show you great and mighty things. And Lord, we call you now. We call in the name above all names, Jesus, who will answer us. And we ask, Master, that you remove every hardened heart. Every hardened heart. As we call forth our heart back from the north, south, east, and west, where we've shared our hearts, and we commit our hearts to you in exchange for the heart of Christ, the mind of Christ, and the will of Christ. Lord, we speak peace, blessing, salvation, stewardship, and protection to Jerusalem and Israel. We remind you of Haiti. And we remind you of those destitute nations, Lord, that have been taken captive by the powers of darkness. And we ask, Lord, that you'll send your military, your angels, your body to these places to feed, clothe, shelter, comfort, and bring the gospel of the living Christ. Lord, please take our hands tonight. Take our feet. Take our will. Take our lives. As we commit our spirit, soul, and body to you as a living sacrifice. And let Christ be glorified in each and every one here tonight, granting us more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that we may be about your business, exposing the enemy and calling down fire upon every high place of Satan, every high place of his pagan worship, every high place of his altars that he's established globally. We call destructive fire down upon them tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. We call destructive fire down in every spirit of assassin of destiny that will come against our prayers, supplications, and requests, that will come against your will and the move of the Spirit, that will come against your house called true, that will come against your established presence. Father, we are desperate for you. Desperate for you. For your presence. And for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Praise God. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore what? Now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So is there condemnation of those who say they're believers and walk according to the flesh? Yes. For the law of the Spirit, there is a law of the Spirit of life. In Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement... Everyone say righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us
who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the law is fulfilled as you walk according to the Spirit. Has everybody got it? Remember, Jesus said, I've come to not take away the law, but to fulfill it. See, now, the law is fulfilled as you walk in the Spirit. The law is not fulfilled if you walk in the flesh. Then you are under the law. And in this, that's what the enemy tries to do. It is a spiritual law. What the enemy tries to do is get you to sow in the flesh so you reap corruption. And the Spirit is trying to get you to sow in the Spirit so you reap life. Because this is a spiritual law. And either you are tying the hands of God or you're releasing the hands of God. One or the other. In every area, this is something that has been established before time, before creation. It is a law that God has always established. It's called sowing and reaping. He who sows to his flesh reaps corruption. He who sows to the Spirit reaps life. So you and I, by the Spirit of God, by the anointing of Christ, are to be led by the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, your flesh is crucified, which is known as self. Many people are in captivity to self. They have been taken prisoners of self. Are you listening? The new creation that is in them have been taken prisoners by self. Self is fed by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The new child that's created, the new you, is fed by the tree of life. The more you starve self, and the more you feed on the tree of life, the more dominion you have over self. Self is the offspring of darkness. It is in the image and likeness of Satan. He loves to feed off the flesh. He loves to do the things of the world. Self loves the world, wants to stay in the world, and wants to die with the world. But the new child wants to be set free of imprisonment of self. And in this, we must be led by the Spirit of God, stay filled with the Spirit of God, so we can always overcome self. There's that fight within us that is consistent. It will not stop until the day you leave this planet. And I'm not talking about going to the moon or Mars. I'm talking about the day that self dies. Now, self dies for you to get to heaven. Self lives for you to get to hell. Come on, do you get it? Self lives for hell. The new child lives for heaven. Which one you serve and which one is dominion over your life when you die is where you go. Self goes to hell. The new creation goes to heaven. Are you listening? So which one ever has dominion over you when you die is where you go. Because who you serve when you die is where you go. Does everybody get this? So if you're out for fulfilling self, hello, if you're out serving the lust of the flesh, that means you are serving Satan. Because self is the offspring of Satan. It's in his image and likeness. And its desire is for the flesh. Its desire is to serve its master. See, Satan still believes that you're his. And he does everything he can to keep you. No matter what it takes, he does everything he can. He does strange things. That's why you have to be led by the Spirit so you can understand the strategies of Satan's kingdom. So you can outwit. The Spirit tells us things to come. He reveals things to us or what's happening. He shows us these things. If you're listening, if you're watching, and if you're in the Spirit, you cannot get these things by not being in the Spirit, unless somebody comes and tells you. Then hopefully you'll receive. Are you listening? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. in verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? The Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, what? Some will depart from the faith. What is faith? Spiritual sight. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of what? Demons. So that means they're going to be listening, they're going to be misled by deceiving spirits, familiar spirits, seducing spirits, seductive spirits, lustful spirits. And they're going to receive a doctrine that's not from God, but from these demons. Now, does a demon lie? You betcha. Right to your face. Speaking lies in hypocrisy and having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So many are going to fall from the faith. In other words, they're going to become blind. By doctrines of demons, deceiving spirits. And these individuals are going to know the truth, but give up the truth. They're going to walk away from the truth that has made them free and be under the authority of Satan again. I want to share something with you, what it's called. It's called a spiritual blackout. It is called a what? A spiritual blackout. Did you ever get with somebody who blacked out? I know, you know. And I didn't say passed out. I said blacked out. Bam! They don't know what's up. This is called a spiritual blackout. They are taking heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. They fall from the will and the desire of God to the will of self-intellect, self-righteousness, and a spiritual blackout resulting in blindness. They have lost spiritual sight. This is an area where Satan loves to attack. He causes spiritual blackouts. There are many victims of spiritual blackouts. Many. In fact, everyone in this room has had an occasion to one, two, or many. They are spiritual blackouts. Go to 1 John chapter 2. One of the things that happened with this and these spiritual blackouts, it's one of its results also besides blindness is forgetfulness. Unforgiveness. Pride. These are some of the results of a spiritual blackout. Because the individual results go into the flesh because they can't get in the spirit now. A spiritual blackout blocks you out from the spirit and causes you to go into the flesh. 1 John chapter 2. That's where an individual can be one way one day and the next day, poof, totally different. Spiritual blackout. In fact, it can happen in the morning and in the afternoon. Yo. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Again, a new command I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going. Why? He's got a spiritual blackout. Because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Hello. Does not know where he's going because of a spiritual blackout. Are you listening? This is a ploy of the enemy to cause spiritual blackouts. The spiritual blackout blocks you out from getting in the spirit and puts you in the flesh. First Peter chapter 5. Is everybody okay? And don't black out on me. First Peter chapter 5, and verse 6. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be what? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion and seeking whom he may devour. It says what? Resist him steadfast in the faith. What's the faith? Spiritual sight. So how are you going to resist the devil? By seeing him. You can't resist something you can't see. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Humble yourself, staying humble, being sober, being vigilant. That means consistent. And resist the blackouts. You must resist the blackouts by maintaining consistency and making what is unseen to become what? Seen. Which is spiritual sight, isn't it? Now, there's a couple things I got to share with you tonight. Because all of this was spoken about a prophecy of 2010, and we'll get there in a minute. About spiritual blackouts. And blackouts. The roaring lion. You know when... when you begin to expose darkness, when Satan gets exposed, he hates that, doesn't he? And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But when he gets exposed, he usually attacks. He can't help himself. He's got to attack when he's exposed. I had two dreams, two nights in a row. And I didn't know, I mean, I understood what the dreams were, but I didn't know when or what was for, and then the Lord reminded me about the blackouts and so forth. The first dream I had the first night was, I was in a garage, and I was cleaning the garage up. And I was cleaning everything out, and I found, I got to this point where there was a spider web, and there was a beetle in it. And I was, as I began to look closer to it, I saw a huge beetle, like I've never seen the size of this beetle before. But it was caught in this web. So I went and got somebody. I said, man, check this out. I mean, because I was here cleaning the garage. And when I began to expose this, a serpent came out of it and tried to bite me. And I woke up. It was almost like the Lord grabbed me by my collar and went, pulled me out of there before he could bite me. And that was the first night. The second night, I have this same dream, in a garage, and I was cleaning out the garage again. And I was in the garage, and I looked at the open door that goes into the house, and I saw like a tail of a serpent go through. But it wasn't a normal tail of a serpent or a snake. It was enormous. The tail was about 2 feet tall. But its skin was of a lion. And it had the fur on top of it. And when I saw how big that tail was, I began to follow it all the way around the garage. It was going up all along the wall of the garage. And I just happened to see it go by. And I'm thinking, man, that's not a serpent. That's a lion. But it's a serpent or a lion serpent. And I began to follow it. And I followed it from its tail, and it was still moving slowly. But my sight was catching up to its head. And I turned around and turned around and turned. And I'm going, oh, my God, this thing is huge. And I'm telling you, this thing was 40 to 60 feet long. And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And like I said, it started off at about a 2-foot tail. It was 2 foot tall, flat against the wall, swithering all along the side. But again, it had the skin of a lion, light brown and toughened, but it had the fur of its hair all the way up on top. And when I finally turned around to catch its face, when I caught its face, it was a lion. It was huge. And it came at me, and again, whew, I was pulled out. And I thought, Lord, what was it? He said, that's the lion that's looking whom it can devour. It is actually a serpent lion. It's not a normal lion that you think that's a lion in the zoo. It's not a four-legged lion. It is a serpent lion. And it's the first time God ever showed me that one. I thought, man, this thing is enormous. He said, yes, and it devours my people. It looks whom he, but he hates it when he's exposed. I thought, wow, this is intense. I mean, I'd never seen such a huge serpent like a lion. This thing was not playing around. It had fangs, it had a lion's head, and it was vicious and evil. And that's all it wanted to do was kill me. I saw the evilness and the viciousness, and his head was huge like a lion. But I'm telling you, the rest of his body was about 40 to 60 feet long, all along. Just like the skin of a lion, thick and hard, with the fur up all the way up on top, all the way to the top of his head. Then he had fur around his head, you know, around his shoulders, and just whoa. But I was pulled out again. That's the one that wants to devour you. It's no four-legged lion, it is a serpent. I thought, man, that's wild. Turn to Isaiah 56. So it says, resist him steadfast, right? In the faith, because he's out to devour you. That's why we must have spiritual sight. That's why it's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen. But one of the things that came to me is what the devil tries to do is to get a blackout, a spiritual blackout, so that serpent can devour them. Does everybody got it? Take them over. And then what it does is it uses that individual to devour more individuals. In Isaiah 56, verse 9. Isaiah 56, in verse 9, what does it say? All you beasts of the field come to devour. All you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are what? Blind. Why are they blind? Spiritual what? Blackout. They are all what? Ignorant. Which means spiritually blind, isn't it? Or an idiot. Same thing. They are all what? Dumb dogs. They cannot what? Bark or speak. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are what? Greedy dogs, which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his own territory. Come, one says, I will bring wine. And we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink, meaning drinking from the well of what? Delusion. Tomorrow we will be as today and much more abundant. They are blind. Spiritual blackouts will cause blindness, ignorance, dumb. They speak like a dog. In other words, they are demonized individuals. They are spiritually lazy and greedy for the world. They are intoxicated by drinking the cup of demons, or what we call the well of delusion, which has caused spiritual blackout. Spiritual blackouts. Go to Proverbs 23. Hallelujah. In verse 19. Would you read it with me? Hear, my son, and be what? Wise. And guard your heart in the way. And do not mix with what? Winebibbers, or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with what? Rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. What does it say? Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and what? And understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. Let your eyes observe my ways. Again, the intoxicating drink is a spiritual drink. He said, buy the truth and don't sell it. In other words, do not take a bribe. It's one of the areas the devil loves to do, to bring a spiritual blockouts. He likes to bribe you for the truth. In other words, he wants to cause you into an area where you become complacent or lazy. He says, do not sell the truth. Don't take a bribe. Surrender your desires of your heart to the Lord. Return your heart to God, and let your eyes observe his ways. Do not harden your heart. See, there's an area where the enemy always likes to bribe you for the truth. He causes you to compromise, be complacent. Why? Because he knows if he can snare you in these things, he can cause a spiritual blackout. Go to Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16, 17. Let's read it, please. Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. You shall appoint judges and officers in all of your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, nor take a what? A bribe. For a bribe does what? Blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. It blinds the eyes and twists the words. Does everybody see this? It does what? Blinds the eyes and twists. You shall follow what is what? Altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not plant for yourself any tree or wooden image near the altar which you build for yourself to the Lord your God. You shall not set up sacred pillars which the Lord your God hates. A bribe will blind, cause spiritual blackout, because one of the things the enemy wants to do, if you know, one of the things that a serpent likes to do is to get an individual in a trance. It likes to try to manipulate the individual. It's called witchcraft. It tries to get an individual into a trance. He waits so that it can become lazy or compromised or complacent. And then it loses sight of the serpent itself. And when it loses sight of the serpent grabs it and eats it. You got to remember that a serpent is something that devours. If you've ever seen a snake eat a rat, or it doesn't chew it. What does it do? It devours the whole thing. It gets it in it. And once it gets in it, it stays in it. You can see snakes that have a big ball in them. And where they've swallowed, there's been snakes that have swallowed cows and all kinds of stuff. They're pretty incredible in how wide they can open their mouths, and all depends on what kind of serpent it is. But here, what happens is that bribe is the exchange of truth. But what the enemy tries to do is
cause that complacency, cause that compromise, cause that laziness, cause that area where you're not diligent, where you're not clear, where you're not paying attention, where you're not seeing in the spirit. You begin to lay down the faith and begin to see through the carnal eyes instead of the spiritual eyes. And when the serpent knows that, he attacks you, and then you get bit. And then his venom that gets in you spiritually begins to infect you, and you begin to act different, and it causes a spiritual blackout because you've been contaminated. Now you got to remember something, that the heart expresses the spirit. It is the character of the spirit. If your spirit is contaminated, your heart will express it. And then it expresses out the mouth, doesn't it? Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. See, your heart is the character of your spirit. So if your spirit is contaminated, it will express it. Does everybody understand this? The enemy will cause desperation. His purpose is to cause desperation because of the fear of lack. Desperation results in a desperate measures of decisions that can be very crucial and end up with a spiritual blackout. Because sometimes when people are very desperate, they do desperate things. Look what's going on right now globally. There's a lot of desperation, isn't there? And let me tell you something, there's a lot of spiritual blackout because of some of the desperate decisions that people have made have caused more disasters than helps. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Spiritual blackout. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are what? Light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? But rather what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. When the enemy is exposed in a life, the results can be offense. Okay? When the enemy is exposed in an individual, many times the first result is offense. Then what happens is you can see one of the results is attack. It turns around and attacks. It's anger. It does justification. It's revenge. Vengeful. The enemy hates to be exposed. And the person is in a spiritual blackout with pride, hardened heart, puts them in a survival mode instead of surrender mode. Is everybody listening? But a humble person that the enemy, in other words, is trying to expose. In other words, a humble person is different. A humble person, when the enemy is exposed, will express repentance. It will listen. It will make things right. It humbles itself. Hello. But a prideful one, when the enemy is exposed in them, will again, they'll be offended. They'll attack. They'll justify. They'll have a hardened heart. And they'll go into survival mode instead of surrender. In this, where there are spiritual blackouts, which is one of the ploys of the enemy, the word that came to us for 2010, and I want to read some of this so that we get an understanding. One of the things of 2010 word was it said that there would be an increase of piercing of darkness. In other words, darkness would be exposed more. There would be rolls of thunder. And in this rolls of thunder would be weather turbulences. And these weather turbulences would cause blackouts. Do you know that we've had more blackouts in these first 5 to 6 weeks of this new year than we've had in a long time? There are blackouts all over the place, all over this country. floods, mudslides, storms, tornadoes, hurricanes. I mean, there are still to this day hundreds of thousands of people out of power in this country because of blackouts. And the word that came to us said that there would be blackouts, utility blackouts, and spiritual blackouts. So we see that there's not only physical blackouts, but there are spiritual blackouts. And I'm not going to go any further in that. I just wanted to share some of this so that we were reminded of what was happening. This is a part of the word that was given to us. Do you want to hear the rest of the word for 2010 while we're here? Praise God. It'll be a time to reflect, refresh, and relearn. Ignorance will increase. Knowledge forsaken. Well, how is that going to happen? Spiritual blackouts. Russia will step up to the plate. And it will be a calm before the storm. It'll have like the outwardly. But the raging wolf will put up its head occasionally, ignored by the world. The world will ignore it. I'll read this again. It will be the calm before the storm outwardly, but the raging wolf will put up its head occasionally, ignored by the world. But it'll be reckoned by the wise. In other words, the wise will see it. Division will increase. Pride will agree with the hidden beast to form its army ready to advance. See, there are people being called in the army of darkness that don't even know it because they have spiritually blacked out. The shield of faith, the wall of fire, and the blood will be established to escape the will of the enemy. But this will be established to those of the favor of the Lord who are favored. The treasures of the wicked will decrease as the favored wise will increase. The ministry of reconciliation will be the master's delight because exposure will cause many to return to his light. Iran will begin to smoke and take the attention off of the world for a temporary time, then turn back to Israel. Continuous widespread of propaganda will infuse tempers, division, racism, anger, and hatred. Many misconceptions will create false hope and a desire for a savior of rescue. Those who can't wait no longer for answers of direction will begin to fall away because they will create their own direction, calling it God. Technology will increase to spread another layer of the film of delusion. The piercing of darkness will continue to cause the draining of financial control. It will be like a bucket with a pinhole leak, not able to locate its predator. At some time in the near future, the loss of the financial control will result in a physical control. Because when the enemy can't control you financially, he'll try to control you physically. The rise of revolution will increase. The blind will be led by the seer. The wise will become wiser, and the fool will scoff with his neighbor. But the wave will get stronger and gather the multitudes of the righteous and expose the stronghold of the enemy, fulfilling God's word. There will be an explosion of the river people. There'll be the cave people coming out, the river people coming out, which is the army of God. They'll be coming out causing problems. They'll be like Gideon's army. They'll be like David's army. They'll be like Elijah and Elisha. Characters of Joseph will rise to provide as the waves of the worldly despair begin to hit the shores. It is a time of a beginning of a time where those will be gathered together to become one, and those not willing to become one will be their own one. We are in a tremendous time and change and shift of the Spirit. It has begun. 2010 is going to be a tremendous time. It will be a tough time. But it will be a glorious time for those who are willing to ride the wave all the way. So wax them up. And don't fall off. There's sharks in the water. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Galatians chapter 3. In verse 1. Let's read it. O foolish Galatians. And what's the whole foolish believers? Who has what? Bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Hello, I would call that spiritual blackout. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? So they started in the Spirit. When they became spiritually blacked out, they got blacked out, blocked out from the Spirit. And now their confidence was in the flesh and no longer in the Spirit. Even though they think they're in the Spirit, they are in the flesh. And you'll know them by the fruit, won't you? James 1. So why are we hearing this? Because the Spirit is saying, I want you to be sober and vigilant. I want you to begin to see these things so you do not get caught up and become spiritually blocked out or blacked out. Hello? James chapter 1 and verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his what? Natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and what? Immediately what? Forgets what kind of man he was. In other words, he forgets where he came from, what God has done. He becomes ungrateful. Why? Because of spiritual blackout. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a what? Forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If any among you thinks he's religious, spiritual, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one is an idiot. Or this one is religion is useless. Or he's spiritually what? Blind. He's become spiritually what? Blacked out. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself what? Unspotted from the what? The world. Keep yourself unspotted. See, forgetfulness of the word, teachings. They begin to forget the things, the teachings, the trials, the consequences of the things that they had to go through. They begin to forget God's blessings in the places of change. They begin to forget the promises and the covenants that they made and the goals that have been given to them, and the things that have been established, the things they wanted to do for God. It's like the 10 individuals that had leprosy. The 9 went away, the 1 turned around and said, "Thank you, Lord." The other 9 were spiritually blacked out. In Psalm 78, never forget where you came from. Never. And never dishonor the place where God brought you to get freed. Never. No matter what it is, no matter what's happened, never. I am so grateful for the place that God brought me to. when he put me in a place when I cried out to God and said, help me. He always puts you in a place. And he put myself in a ministry and sent my wife, and we both got involved in a ministry where God set us free. And we were grateful. And to this day, we're very grateful. And we see things that sometimes are not right and whatever, but that don't mean nothing. There isn't a perfect ministry in a perfect place. And I'm still grateful. And the man is still a man of God. And God uses that man and that ministry to rescue globally. Never forget where you came from. In Psalm 78, you remember all those trials and tribulations you had to go through, right? Why go through them again? In verse 5, would you read it with me, please? For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to who? Their children. That the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And may not be like their fathers, a what? Stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Now, how did that happen? They became what? Spiritually blacked out. Psalm 50, in verse 16. You know, as things are arising right now, and there's financial burdens globally, and there's a lot of despair and famine, you know, and it's just a trickling. And as you're fighting through and prevailing, because, you know, if you're in the spirit, nothing can, the powers of darkness cannot prevail against you. You're going to always overcome, because the anointing overcomes everything. But there are many who are desperate now, aren't they? And they're grabbing hold of anything. The problem is they're grabbing a hold of a lot of things that are causing spiritual blackouts. They're putting their heart and their trust in the wrong things instead of the things that God is providing. In 50, verse 16. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? Seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with the adulterers. You gave your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you, and I will set them in order where? Before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of the Lord. Whew. I don't need to say anything about that. Psalm 106. Psalm 106 and verse 6. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Verse 6. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not what? Remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words and they sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They forgot everything that happened. Spiritual blackout. They soon forgot his works. They did not what? Wait for his counsel, but did their own. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their requests and sent leanness into their soul. See, when an individual gets spiritually blacked out, he cannot wait for counsel. He's always on an anxious mode. Anxious. Anxious. It's my way or no way. Well, God said it's my way or the highway. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Remember when the enemy is exposed and a prideful individual, besides the pride, there's offense, justification, anger, vengeance, and attack. In Matthew 26, in verse 55, let's read it. In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, what? Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs who take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples, what? Forsook him and fled. When an individual becomes spiritually blocked out or blacked out, he will forsake you. And they will betray you. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. So even his disciples forsook him, didn't they? Because they were spiritually blacked out. They forgot, they forsook, and they betrayed. They did what? They forgot, they forsook, and they betrayed. That's caused of a spiritual blackout. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 18. 2:18. Spiritual blackouts. There are many victims of spiritual blackouts. It was told to us that this would happen in 2010. It's too bad people didn't listen to it. Verse 18, let's read it. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. When an individual becomes spiritually blacked out, again, he's blocked out from the spirit and he goes into the flesh. And by that produces his own religion, her own religion, in the area of carnal thinking. And there's that justification in form of godliness, but it really isn't of God. So an individual tries to perform itself by doing righteous acts, but those righteous acts are done in the flesh and not in the spirit. And they are not accounted for anything. That's a ploy of the devil. Why? Because it's producing false humility in it, isn't it? It's false. It's a lie. It's like humility sits with you, but inside it's raving, raging, and ready to devour you. Hebrews 10. Are you getting it? So we're to be looking and seeing these areas, aren't we? God is preparing us so we're not deceived. And so that we don't get spiritually blacked out. It's happening all over in a tremendous, tremendous way. There are many, many victims to it. Many have fallen because of it. Hebrews 10:15. What's it say? But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, being consistent in fellowship. Being consistent in fellowship. The Bible says, in a multitude of counsel, there is safety and wisdom. You know, when you're involved in a flock, the wolf, it's harder for the wolf to enter, isn't it? The Bible says, two cause legions to flight, and a threefold cord is hard to break, isn't it? So that's why it's so good to be covered by prayer, isn't it? And I want to close at Philippians chapter 2. So you want to be consistent, and you want to be consistent in fellowship. It's important. Consistency. And we know that the key of consistency is desire to what? Please him. Philippians chapter 2. Everybody there? In verse 1. Let's read this together. Therefore, is there any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being what? Like-minded. Do you understand that being consistent and in fellowship is the word comes forth, And people are in fellowship with one another. They're maintaining a like-mindedness, aren't they? See, but the enemy always likes to pull someone out. So once the enemy pulls someone out or begins to cause a spiritual blackout, the individual now will become blinded. It will become forgetful. It will forsake. And its purpose for the enemy is to cause a betrayal. Does everybody got it? See, because they're no longer what? Like-minded. See, because that's why the Lord wants us to be sent. Because when you're sent, you're still sent with the same mind. Does everybody got this? You're sent with the same mind and you're covered no matter where you go. And even when you get involved in something else, God is still covering you because you're bringing that like-mindedness where you're going. Awesome. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. That's what's important about fellowship, isn't it? It doesn't say be busybodies. It says look out for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking a form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Spiritual blackouts. They are increasing. You must be very careful. You are finding more and more blackouts and utilities globally. All kinds of things are happening. Because what you see happening physically is happening spiritually first. There's always the arena that you see physical manifestations. And you can see a lot of physical manifestations in weather, can't you? And it's not caused by the weatherman. Now, the weatherman may tell you what's happening, and he's exposing the physical arena, but the Holy Spirit is exposing the spiritual arena. Do not bite the bait to become spiritually blacked out. Because you will forsake and forget, and you will betray what God has established for you. And the only thing that will be promoted is self in the flesh. It's an important time. Very, very important and dangerous time. Very dangerous. And the Lord is out to rescue and to expose the enemy. And I'm telling you, the lion is roaring and seeking whom he can devour. And he's not four-legged. He is a lion. And he's the largest serpent I have ever seen. So be careful. You're not devoured. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Again, Lord, we ask that you continue to guide us, establish us, and perfect us. Keep us humble. Help us to see, to listen, and to obey. Grant us the ability to maintain a grateful attitude, a humble attitude, and a desire to please you. We commit everything to you, Master, and we ask, Lord, that your continued will be manifested in our life, granting us more faith that we may see clearly. Not caught up in false humbleness, false humility, or false doctrine. But the truth, practice the truth, forgiving and going forward. That we may maintain like-mindedness with the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. And everybody say, Amen.